Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Mike Suslow, Global Commodity Analytics, with your early morning update. Please remember there is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options. The impact of cycles or current events on prices may be already factored into the market. Let's start in livestock, and this goes for the whole commodity sector as well, but you've got a four-year high almost in crude oil. You've got stocks in the equities markets making records or very close to record highs. And you've still got the remnants of Hurricane Florence supporting the pork sector. These things, I think, are getting a little bit dated, a little bit long in the tooth as far as continuing to support the livestock market. The recent update on the retail sector is probably most disappointing for the beef from a standpoint of the ground beef. Most recent updates that I get weekly from the retail sector is that the grinding is continuing to fall with limited volume being reported, and ground chuck specifically is seeing some limited demand here. I think this is going to hurt eventually the box beef prices as we get into the end of the week, and if that's correct and we don't see any sales in the cash market at that 115 level, I think it's going to be difficult for the cattle and especially the feeders to continue to go higher here and make new highs. Knowing that the feeders and the fats are really close to some major technical resistance on the weekly and in some cases the monthly charts. So my suspicion fundamentally is that these technical levels will hold as resistance in the cattle. Hogs, a little bit different. They have a little bit more of an open door in the technicals, and the retail sector is suggesting that we're continuing to see surging prices in the loins. And this continues through last week. This is still the retail demand being strong and Hurricane Florence coming together in a really, really tough situation for the supplier to be able to get product to the market. I've also been of the view that the Chinese pork prices are probably going higher, and that also, I think, is helping support the funds to come into this market. Chinese pork prices going higher on African swine fever as long as the Chinese consumer doesn't switch off the pork consumption train as far as taste and preference. So far, what I've been able to pick up is that we've seen China's pork prices in most of their areas up about 15% since the beginning of this virus hit probably almost a month ago now that we're talking about. Again, though, in the hogs, we're getting very toppy and we have a gap underneath us. I set along with this update, this audio update, an October hog chart. Take a look at that because we've got a very steep trend line that we are very close to testing. If we'd go through that on a closing basis, I'd say the door technically would be opened up then for the downside and that gap to be filled. So I would not be surprised to see that happen, especially if the cattle gave up as well. Turning to the grain markets, we don't have a lot of clear picture of where this market wants to go, do we? It seems like that we had the reaction of the bears from the report getting out yesterday because of the new deal, the USMCA, that replaces NAFTA. And we also have on the other side of that, corn harvest at 26% and bean harvest at 23%. Bean harvest actually coming in lower than the average trade guess on the Reuters poll. So it suggests that the yields are pretty strong and we have quite a bit of bean combining to do still. Corn was pretty much on track. You've got two major features in this market going on right now. It's combined with the FC Stone coming out with brand new yield figures yesterday, and I think this is where the trade is mostly trading today as far as why we're a little bit weaker, as they pop their yield estimate from 177.7 to 182.7 in corn. They jumped their corn yield 5 bushels to the acre since their last estimate a month ago. In beans, it wasn't as big of a jump. They went from 53.8 to 54. But here again, I think we have two major dynamics the trade has to work through as we grind through harvest, and that is the massive supplies that the private estimates and even the USDA are supporting in terms of their estimates for supply and the yield of the U.S. crop. But then we're starting to get the go-ahead and the green light that we aren't going to disrupt the trade anymore in terms of demand for ethanol, demand for corn, demand for wheat. Yes, we still have China that is under pressure in terms of the trade sanctions between the United States and China, but the trade is probably now looking at China as being kind of out on their own because we are doing trade deals with Japan, South Korea, the European Union, and we've gotten this new NAFTA deal set up. And so the logic in the trade has shifted, I think, and that is that we don't need to necessarily lose demand because of trade, and that the president has come in before the midterm elections to shore up his base, and he may throw another carrot out there in terms of an all-year-round E15 policy. So I don't think the trade demand bears are nearly as visible as they were, or they aren't going to be as visible as they were going to be because of some of these deals. And so now the forces are kind of equal with one another, is that we have the support in the market from the demand side, but we have resistance in the market from the supply side. This is something I'm going to talk about in my blog a lot more as we get into today's trade. I'll be posting that up by this afternoon. Needless to say, my sense at this stage going into today is that the wheat is playing catch up with the corn and the soybeans. It needs to play catch up with the corn and the soybeans. The question that I have put to myself is that if the wheat can hold above 505.5 and break above 525, then we can confirm a low in the grains, even though we have things like the United States soybean supply at an 11-year high, and we have a large South American crop starting to get planted right now. The wheat technicals and the Bloomberg Grain Index technicals are not giving a buy signal yet, but they can because of these new fundamentals with the trade issues. That's kind of how I see it. And in that same vein, I wanted to send you a weekly corn chart. It's a really neat chart because it shows very, very closely and very, very nicely how our technicals are lining up, that all we need is about 3 or 4 more cents above the current highs in the December lead month corn, and we can take out major moving averages, clear a lot of resistance, and clear a path to a much better rally potential of upwards of around 30 cents. I think that the lead month corn has a shot at 395 from a technical standpoint if we can clear these major moving averages on that chart. I don't think we can clear those major moving averages without the help of the wheat, though, and that's kind of what I'm pinning these two together. And if we do clear that resistance in the wheat and in the corn, then the soybeans can play along for the ride, maybe another 10, 20 cents. That would be where we'd want to get some more hedges in place, both 18 and start our 19 hedges. We're at right under 925 in the Nov 19 beans. I would love to get to 930 to 945 to start our hedging. That should do it for now. I don't want to run this thing too long. Call with any questions and have a good day, everybody.